together in prayer. Our gracious God and Father, we come to thee tonight in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. We pray that thou wouldst remember us as we meet together. We pray that thou wilt speak through thy word to every heart. We pray that thou wouldst remember thy servant who has come to minister in song. Thou wilt fill him with the Holy Spirit and fill us as we preach thy word this night. We pray, O God, that thou wilt do something in our midst that will cause great glory and honour be brought to thy name for Jesus' sake. Amen. We do welcome you tonight in the Lord's name. We trust the Lord's blessing will be upon us as we meet together in the house of the Lord this evening. And do remember the baskets at the exits for your offerings. We just go out the one door in the evening time. Just remember to keep your social distancing as you do that. The gospel continues during the week in the will of God. Do remember, please, the meetings for the little ones, little sunbeams, parent and toddlers, tomorrow at 10:30 to 11:30 in the church hall. And then on Tuesday, the children's meeting resumes for all boys and girls. Are welcome at 7 p.m. The Bible study on being in touch with the Father from John 17 continues on Tuesday night at 8 p.m. in the prayer meeting. The doors open from approximately 7:50 with the children's meeting on. We'd ask you just to remain until the children get out from the children's meeting. Youth reach on Saturday in the church hall from 7:30 in the will of the Lord. There will be the separate baskets tonight for the missionary council offerings as well. Next Lord's Day, Sunday school at 10, family worship 11:30. The gospel service at 7. Mr. Stephen Crawford is a final year student for the ministry who's assisting in the Tandragee congregation. Present will be the preacher, and the season of prayer will be held prior to the evening service from 6:20 to 6:45. Again, you're hearing different men, and here's another one next Sunday, young man who's finishing this year in the college. He will speak at the youth meeting afterwards at 8:30. As well. Do remember those who are sick at this time. Particularly remember Mary, who's been going through a hard time with the treatments. Do remember her. Mervyn is recovering well, as is Hazel. And do remember David. Continue to remember these folk. Remember also Florence, who's now moved to a home, and Carl. Pray that the Lord's hand will be upon him. It's good to see our brother Raymond out with us again. Continue to remember him in your prayers. Family and Friends Night resumed on the last Sunday of the month, 30th of January at 7. Special testimonies from husband and wife, Jim and Susan Gray from our Bangor Church. The soloist will be Mrs. Vivian McCoy. Do invite others to come to this service, please. I think these are all the announcements. We're going to commence tonight with the singing of the hymn, All Things Are Possible to Him That Can in Jesus' Name Believe. Lord, I no more thy name blaspheme, thy truth I lovingly receive. I can, I do believe in thee. All things are possible to me. We'll keep our seats, and then if you're able to stand, stand please for prayer.
Thank you.
Our gracious God and loving Father, we come into your presence tonight in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. And we do pray, O God, that thou wilt meet with us in thy house tonight. And we pray that thou wilt speak to every heart from thy word. Let us know the challenge of thy word. And we pray, Lord, that that challenge will come to our hearts tonight. And we pray, O Father, that thou wilt speak to every heart and every one who listens. And we pray, O God, that thou wilt work tonight for thy glory. We desire, O God, that thou wilt do something in this day of great darkness, in this day, Lord, of great dearth. We pray that thou wilt come to thy church, that thou wilt revive thy work in the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. We pray that thou wilt pour out thy Spirit upon thy church in these days. O God, we pray that thou wilt come and refresh us and do us good. And we pray that we'll see something of your hand at work and something of your arm made bare even here tonight in this service. We pray, Father, to remember the needs of the congregation, the many that are ill at this time. We pray for healing and restoration. We thank you for answers to prayer. And we pray that, Lord, thy people will return to give thee thanks for all the answers that thou hast given. And, Lord, the prayers that thou hast answered. And, Lord, we pray for those, O God, who have left off coming to your house and have been grown careless and cold. Lord, we cannot understand why they don't want to come. But, Lord, we pray that thou wilt stir them again. Give them an interest. Give them a love for your house. And we pray that thou wilt draw them again into the courts of thy house. We pray, Father, that thou wilt remember each one tonight. And Lord, we pray for those who have grown cold and backslidden through this time. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt bring them back to their first love. Bless thy servant who has come into our midst tonight. We pray for him as he ministers in song, that thou wilt use him, that thou wilt make him a blessing, that thou wilt, O God, take him tonight and grant that he might be an instrument in thine hand, even to the salvation of some precious soul tonight through his ministry. We pray for our land and all its need. The darkness envelops us, this nation, this world, on every side, Lord. As we're thinking this morning about the curse and the judgment of God is upon it. Lord, we pray that thou wilt intervene, O God, with the gospel. The gospel is the only answer. And we pray that thou wilt break through and save our families and save our neighbors and save people in our communities. And grant, Lord, that you'll work mightily and powerfully to the salvation of many souls. We pray in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. We're delighted to have Brother Stephen Patterson with us tonight. He's going to minister a couple of pieces to us now. Thank
you. Well, it's a joy to be back with you again here in Ballygowan. It's always a good sign to be asked back to a church. Or as I take it as a good sign anyway, but we hope that you'll be blessed through these pieces that we've chosen for you tonight. The first piece is entitled, "My Worth Is Not in What I Own." It's really speaking about how our earthly possessions, yes, they may be good, but they can't get us into heaven. And it really spoke to me because a few years back I had a lot of pride in my heart about my earthly possessions. But I quickly learnt that they can be taken away just as quickly. And I wonder, is that you tonight? Is that the way you think? Are you trying to get ahead in life? Are you trying to maybe gain more earthly possessions, get a promotion in that job, more money? Is that your mindset, or is your mindset solely on Jesus Christ? And I urge that that would be the message you would receive through this first piece.
My worth is not in what I own, not in the strength of flesh and bone, but in the costly wounds of love at the cross. My worth is not in skill or name, win or lose, in pride or shame. but in the blood of Christ that flowed at the cross. I rejoice in my Redeemer, greatest treasure, wellspring of my soul. I will trust in Him no other, my soul is satisfied in Him alone. As summer flowers we fade and die, fame, youth, and beauty hurry by, but life eternal calls for us at the cross. Two wonders here that I confess, my worth and my unworthiness, thy value fixed, my ransom paid at the cross. I rejoice in my Redeemer, greatest treasure, wellspring of my soul. I will trust in Him no other, my soul is satisfied. I will trust in Him no other, my soul is satisfied in Him alone. I believe in a hill Calvary. I believe whatever the cost, and when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to the old rugged. I believe that the Christ who was slain on the cross has the power to change lives today. For He changed me completely, a new life is mine. That is why by the cross I will stay. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe whatever the cost, and when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to the old rugged cross. I believe that this life with its great mysteries surely someday will come to an end. But faith will conquer the darkness and death, and will lead me at last to my friend. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe whatever the cost, and when time surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to the old rugged cross. still cling to the on rugged cross.
Thank you, Stephen, for that ministry. May the Lord bless it to our hearts. It's good to be brought to the cross, and how we need to be brought there continually. May the Lord bless that ministry to our hearts tonight. We're reading from the Word of God in the book of Matthew, chapter 24, and the verse number 1. Matthew 24, and the verse number 1. Let us hear the Word of God tonight. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Amen. And we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired and inerrant and infallible word. We're singing the hymn, I want, dear Lord, a heart that's true and clean, a sunlit heart with not a cloud between, a heart like thine, a heart divine, a heart as white as snow. And me, dear Lord, a heart like this bestow. Keeping our seats, I'll be singing, then Stephen will come with his final message in song before we come to the word tonight. Thank you. Bless that ministry and song to our hearts. If you can stand, will you stand please for prayer? Our gracious God and loving Father, we come now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power, thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. Lord, give prevailing words tonight, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. I turn your attention to the subject tonight, the lowering of the spiritual temperature in the church. The lowering of the spiritual temperature in the church. The 24th and 25th chapters of Matthew's Gospel set before us the Olivet Discourse of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior sitting on the Mount of Olives. Verse 3. Many times, of course, in the Gospels we read of the Lord Jesus Christ sitting and presenting the Word or teaching the Word to those who gather. And here is one such occasion. And the disciples were there with him in that place, and they had questions to ask him after he had spoken to them about the building of the temple. He said, you will notice there in verse 2, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. You have similar words, of course, in Luke 21 and 6. And then came their questions here in verse 3 of this passage. Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And so in answer to their question, the Lord Jesus Christ gives this discourse about the end time. And many of you may be familiar with the teaching that is found here. He speaks about the deception of such a time. Notice verse 4, verse 5, verse 11. Take heed that no man deceive you. For many, verse 5, shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Verse 11, many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. So he speaks about the deception of this time. But then he speaks also about the disruption of this time. Look at verse 6. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Again, verse 7, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. So he speaks about deception. He speaks about disruption. He speaks about disasters. Verse 7, there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. And we have all seen such events. and such disasters, even presently, experience them right across this world. And then in verse 9, the delivering of many into the hands of their oppressors. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And many are being killed tonight for the cause of Christ. Many are being put to death because they love the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us of the departure, verse 10, then shall many be offended. And many are being offended. And then furthermore, he speaks here about shall betray one another and shall hate one another, verse 10. So there's division and dissension. But then he makes this statement which is most sobering for the church of Christ. In verse 12, he said, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. It is upon these words that I want to focus tonight in the closing moments of our service. And I pray that God, by His Spirit, will write these words upon our hearts just now. The subject, as we have said, is the lowering of the spiritual temperature in the church. And maybe we need to take our own temperature this evening in a spiritual sense. And as a church, we need to check our temperature. Is at the right level? There are three things that I want to particularly focus upon tonight. First of all, the recognition of this coldness. How many times are we asked, can I take your temperature? Perhaps more, even in these present times. Especially, are we frequently asked even to check our own temperature? And it's wise for us to do so. And maybe you do that with your children and your grandchildren too, if they're ailing for some reason or another. How much more do we need to do it in relation to our spiritual health? Has your spiritual temperature dropped? Has the spiritual temperature of the church dropped? And here is something that is challenging for all of us as individuals and collectively for the body of believers as part of the church of Christ. Sadly, we read of the church at Laodicea in Revelation 3. They seem to have no true recognition of their spiritual temperature. They seemed to think that all was well with them, and clearly it wasn't. They were rich, of course. They were increased with goods, and they thought they had need of nothing. Now, brother, even before he spoke tonight, or sang tonight, brother, was messaging us on that, wasn't it? About having the riches of this world. But yet they were neither cold nor hot. They were lukewarm. Some were in between. And clearly the Lord was not happy with them because he said in Revelation 3 and verse 16 of the church at Laodicea, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. They made God sick. They were wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. They were clearly lacking in many things that contributed to their spiritual temperature not being what it should be. And how easy it is for the spirit of Laodicea to become prevalent in the church today and even our own church. And how vital it is that we recognize what is happening and we listen to the Lord and to His counsel as He gives it to us. Revelation 3:18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. We need to listen to God's word to our heart.
And we need to learn the lessons that he would have us learn, that our spiritual temperature might be brought up to the right level, that our ears might be open tonight, and our hearts attentive to the word, that the Lord would speak to us tonight from his precious truth. And so there has to be the recognition. There has to be, secondly, the reasons for this coldness. And our text declares that. It says here, if you look at the words, it says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And iniquity is abounding. And sin is rife in our society. On every side, on every hand, wickedness abounds. It is flowing like a torrent through our cities and our towns and our villages and our country districts. It is flowing like a rapid waterfall across our land and our nation. I don't know in your travels if you've ever visited the Niagara Falls or the Victoria Falls or some of the great falls, the waterfalls of the world, a sight to behold. But you see there the massive volume of water cascading down those falls. Nothing will stand in the way of that water. And sin, like the water of those falls, is coming through at a rapid rate. It's impacting upon every sector of our society. It is impacting on the lives of individuals. It is impacting in family life. It is running through society. It's even impacting upon the life of the church. And I want you to look at the term that's used here, because the terms of Scripture are very important. It says, because iniquity. Iniquity. What does that word iniquity mean? It means violation of law. It means non-observance or transgression of the law, whether unknown or willfully violated. It means lawlessness. We live in a lawless society. We live in a society where men transgress the law of God with impunity. His commandments are despised. You think of the Ten Commandments. And sure, they're just trodden underfoot continuously. The Lord has not given his first place, though the Bible says, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. His name is taken in vain. His name is blasphemed. His day is desecrated. Idols are worshipped. Parents are not honored. Murders are committed. Even the murder of the unborn is legislated for in the legislatures of our nation. Adultery is committed, and stealing and covetousness and bearing false witness. All of these indicate that the Ten Commandments are being despised. God's law. We live, dear friends, in a lawless society. And how easily these iniquitous practices can enter into the church. And because society embraces these things, we're just swept along with this tide of iniquity, this torrent of sin. And the church becomes cold because of the iniquity, because of the sinfulness, because of the wickedness, the vileness of society at large. And it looks at the sinfulness of society and it becomes cold. And this is happening, men and women. We need to be alert to it. We need to be awakened to it. We need to be every day checking our spiritual temperature to make sure that such coldness does not overtake and overwhelm us. It's so easy for the deluge of iniquity and sin that is sweeping across this world to sweep into the church, to infiltrate into our hearts and into our homes, even as the people of God. You think of the church at Ephesus there, one of the churches mentioned in Revelation. And here's a church that had so much going for them. And yet the Lord said in Revelation chapter 2 verse 4, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. They departed. The warmth of the love of Christ that they had had in their hearts had gone. They'd become cold. Is that what has happened to us or is happening to us even at this present time? Through all of this pandemic, you would think the church would have got stronger and the church would have become warmer, and yet the church has become colder. Look at the term abound. Because iniquity shall abound. That means to be multiplied or multitudes. Iniquity is multiplied. Every moment it is multiplying. Multitudes are engaging in it. Many are becoming discouraged as they see this. And maybe you're discouraged tonight. And coldness has come into your heart. Notice the words and how they're framed here. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And the coldness sets in. And it has set in, believers, into our churches. We have become defeatist and downhearted and discouraged. And cast down as we look at the sin that abides. And then the church becomes cold as it looks at the situation, as it views the prevailing circumstances. You see, we get our eyes so often upon the world instead of having our eyes upon the Lord. If your focus is on the world, then you will become cold very quickly. Your spiritual temperature will drop. You think of Hezekiah, that great king in the Old Testament, in the time when the enemy plotted against him and against the Lord's people. And he spread the matter before the Lord. In the most difficult and desperate and trying of circumstances, he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord. That was in the time of great illness and great sickness that had come upon him. 2 Kings 22. The psalmist said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. It seems as if there's no help. There's nothing to encourage us. There's nothing to stem the awful tide of sin. There's nothing can stop the endless flow of iniquity and wickedness that is abroad in our society. Day and daily it becomes more debauched and more dark and more depraved. With every piece of legislation that legislators put into law, we look at the situation and it's dire. And the church becomes cold and we become cold because iniquity abides. The church becomes cold and colder. It sees itself more and more without strength. And the church becomes overcome by weakness without the power to prevail against the sin and the shame that is prevailing. You think of scripture that says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, uses that term, flood again. We've been thinking about the water and using that imagery. The enemy shall come in like a flood. And because of this coldness, the church as a body becomes weaker and weaker, just as our physical bodies become weaker when there's lack of heat within our body. And what weakness there is in the church today because of this coldness. We seem incapable of standing. We're not steadfast. We're not unmovable. We're about to faint. We're about to fall. We're about to falter. The Bible says in Isaiah 40, verse 30, even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young man shall utterly fall. Our backs are to the wall tonight. What can we do? What must we do? Well, My friend, this would be an awful message if I left it there and said to you about all of these things, about all of this coldness and the reasons why. But let me point you to the remedy tonight for this coldness. There is a remedy, make no mistake about it. First of all, it has to do with our focus. Our focus. Getting our eyes upon the Lord. Getting our eyes upon the Lord. And that great verse there in Hebrews 12 and verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus. The psalmist said in one of the psalms, mine eyes are unto thee. And Christian tonight, get your eyes upward. Look upward to heaven. Look to the hills. Look to the Lord. Coldness comes about for the Christian and in the church when the Lord's people get their eyes off the Lord and they fix their eyes on the world and their circumstances and other people. And when you get your eyes on the Savior, then you'll get that warmth into your soul again. You'll be drawn closer to the Lord. The closer you get to the fire, the warmer your body will feel. The closer you get to the Lord, the more your spiritual temperature will rise. So it has to do with our focus. It has to do also with fellowship. The fellowship of the Lord's people. 1 John 1 and 7, we have fellowship one with another. Look at the fellowship that's mentioned there in Acts 2:42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. The fellowship of the Lord's people brings that warmth to our souls, that congregating together. We're not to forsake it, and yet God's people have forsaken it. Let's make no mistake about it. I know we have the pandemic. I know people are sick, but people are not turning out. People are not coming to God's house as they formerly did. People have got slack and got lax. I know there are fears. I know there's illness. And I know there are people who'd love to be sitting in these seats tonight who can't because of that illness. But let me make no mistake about it. We used to be sitting with far more people in these pews than we are sitting with tonight. It's no use in brushing it off. We have to face up to it. We have to face up to it. The fellowship of God's people has been forsaken. And the Bible says we're not to forsake it. The Bible says that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Hebrews 10:25. One of the first things Saul of Tarsus did after his conversion was to join himself to the fellowship of the disciples. You look at Acts 9, you see that. And they were very reticent about him because of his background, and understandably so, because he had just been involved in threatening and putting to death the saints of the Lord. But now he was converted, and he was introduced to the disciples and to the church at Jerusalem by Barnabas. And he was brought into the fellowship. The fellowship. And what a remedy for coldness is the fellowship of the saints. Fellowship of the saints. Very important. The fellowship of the Lord's people. But not only is there to be focus and fellowship, but there's to be food. If you're feeling cold, you'll want to get some food. You want to get into a place where there's a good fire and also there's good food. And the Christian as an individual and the church as a body needs the food of God's word. You need to feed upon the word. You need the sincere milk, as Peter put it. The strong meat, as Paul put it, of the word of God. As Paul in another place put it, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. You need to be strengthened in the faith. And many Christians are cold tonight because they're not feeding on the word. And many churches are cold because they're not being fed with the rich nourishment of God's precious truth. The finest of the wheat and the honey out of the rock. And so food is very important. Good spiritual food.
and you need to feed yourself on the Word as well as being fed from the pulpit on the Word. But there's another thing, and it's fervency. Fervency in supplication. Constant in prayer with the Lord. Praying always, not just the public prayer meeting, but the private prayer meeting. The private times of prayer. When you get close to the Lord and you have communion with God and you draw near to God and it brings warmth to your soul. The praying Christian is not a cold Christian. The praying church is not a cold church. And we need to address these things. If the coldness is to be taken away from us. And then there's fervency in service. The Bible speaks about this in Romans 12 and verse 11. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. There's a warmth about the believer who is active in the service of the Lord. And aren't you glad that you have a little part that you're playing in the service of God? That you're doing that little work for the Lord? Whatever it is, may seem insignificant. But it's a work for the Lord. It's a service that you can do. And there's a warmth in that. There's a warmth in engagement in service for Christ. There's a warmth about a church that's reaching out in service for the Lord, that's spending and being spent in the Master's service. And so there has to be focus. And of course, there has to be fellowship and there has to be food and there has to be fervency in supplication and service. But there has to be following. Following on to know the Lord. True discipleship involves following the Lord. Are you following the Lord tonight? Maybe you're not saved. Well, my friend, I urge you tonight to get saved. I urge you tonight to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, because by coming to Him, you become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. You become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And true discipleship involves this following of the Lord, and there's a warmth in this. You remember John, the beloved apostle, he leaned upon the Savior's breast and he felt the heartbeat of the Son of God. And what an example John is of one who is following the Lord, of one who is truly following the Lord. In contrast, you have Peter. Sadly, Luke 22:54 says, Peter followed afar off. But Peter wasn't on his own, because the other disciples forsook him and fled, the Bible says too. And Peter was cold, and of course he denied the Lord on three occasions, but the Lord brought him back. The Lord restored Peter. Peter repented, and Peter was restored, and Peter was reinvigorated and rededicated to the service of the Lord Jesus Christ and became even mightier for God in the days ahead. May we tonight and in future days become true followers of Jesus Christ, that we might address the matter of the spiritual temperature of our hearts, my heart, as much as yours. And as a church, that the spiritual temperature might be raised, that it might be at the right level. When you get that temperature taken, the nurse or the doctor or whoever it is, or maybe just somebody else in these times taking your temperature, you'll know if your temperature's not at the right level. You'll know that you need to get it back to the right level. And we need to get back to the right level as Christians. And we need to be in that right place with the Lord, that our spiritual temperature might be right. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Brothers and sisters, let's be awakened to what's happening. Let's be stirred by it. And let's address it with the Lord's help. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts tonight. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that thou wilt apply thy word to every heart tonight. We pray that there'll be those tonight who are not saved who will come to Christ. And we pray, O God, for thy people that we will be stirred even tonight in these times, addressing the spiritual temperature and getting it to the right level. We pray in the Savior's name for God's eternal glory. Amen. Returning to the hymn, I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. 418, keeping our seats as we sing this hymn together. Let us all pray. Our gracious God and loving Father in heaven, we pray that thou wilt apply thy word to our hearts tonight, the challenge of thy word. We pray that thou wilt make it a blessing.
And grant, Lord, that thou wilt give us that spiritual warmth again. Bring us back, Lord, if we've wandered, into close communion and fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that thou wilt pour out thy Spirit upon thy people. For any who are not saved, we pray that tonight thou wilt bring them to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest, remain, and abide with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.